The Breakfast Huddle replay from Money FM 89.3. The Bigger Picture with Ryan Hwang.
Good morning. Thanks for joining us on The Breakfast Huddle. Well, it's hump day and it looks like markets are feeling a bit sluggish this morning. Looking at the opening numbers, it seems that Asia is taking the cue from Wall Street, where the S&P 500 broke a five-day winning streak and, of course, coming off their record highs. So a lot of noise overnight. To help us get through and make sense of it all, we've got Manpreet Gill, Head of FICC Investment Strategy at Standard Chartered Private Bank. Morning, Manpreet. How are you doing?
Morning, Ryan. Could be better with the rate, but...
Could be better on many fronts. Manpreet, we've just got the trade numbers out for Singapore, and it's not very peachy. It's a reading of a drop of 17.3%. This follows the 16.3% drop we saw in May. So pretty much the worst in more than 3 years. So this is the latest sign that, you know, the economy around a lot of places... For example, China had just its GDP data 6.2%, slowest in nearly three decades. What are you taking away from all these weak readings? Is this good for stock markets because central banks will now be more accommodative?
Yes, absolutely. And I think that's there are always two sides to the coin. I think the data itself, of course, no doubt it's weak. And I would argue less of a surprise considering, you know, what we've seen on the trade side over the past few quarters. But I think the real key here now is to always look forward. I mean, a lot of the data, of course, tells us what has happened in the past. I think as market investors, what is important is how policymakers respond to it. And I think the good news here is that around the world, we have seen a shift, at least on the central bank side. I think we'll see the Fed move first. That, of course, is still, I think, for most markets, the most important one. But I think the signaling will be important. And to the extent to which other policymakers, central banks, you know, here around Asia, whether it's in Singapore or elsewhere, move, I think that's really what markets will be focused on. Because trade, of course, is something we have the view will take time to resolve. But either policy, whether it's lower interest rates or other forms, ultimately are good for markets. And as we know in the U.S., earnings in many parts of the world are actually still not that bad.
Manpreet, so you track the rates and the currencies very closely. So I just want to get your take on, you know, the latest indicators you're getting around the U.S. economy. Overnight, we did get some better-than-expected numbers from the retail sales for June. It came in at 0.4%, better than the 0.1% that the market was estimating. And in fact, we've been getting quite a few good spate of numbers from the U.S. What does this mean for the expectations of rate cuts down the road in 2019?
But I think the impact is over how much easing really comes through. I think the fact that we're getting good numbers, of course, is a positive. It means, especially when you think about a very domestic-focused economy like the U.S., you know, there is some strength coming through. But the reality is that has to be balanced against some of the forward-looking data, which still does look weak, not weaker than prior mid-cycle slowdowns in our view, but still something that may require a policy response. So that's why we do think the Fed will still cut, but we're mindful that in the past, even when the Fed has done insurance-like cuts, if you think back to 1995 or 98, when the economy, you know, still ended up avoiding a recession, it rarely stopped at one rate cut. So I think the question is whether the one looks like a done deal, whether there'll be a second and whether there'll be a third. And looking at the US dollar in particular, I think that'll be quite important because if we do see rates move beyond just one rate cut, that could push the dollar a little bit weaker.
All right, Manpreet, just help us make sense of the numbers here. I've got the US retail sales looking pretty good, and then you've got back home, closer to home, the economy is not doing so good. So with these rate cuts coming online, what does this mean for Asian currencies versus the US dollar?
Well, if we do get, you know, signs of more than one rate cut from the Fed, the next meeting, I think that means a weaker dollar. It does mean better supported emerging market indicators. Now, of course, in Singapore, since the policy measures the currency more so than interest rates, that could lead to a slightly different outcome, depending on what policymakers want. But at least we'd be looking for stability and greater flows into EM assets. So I think that's why we are positive on EM, particularly on EM dollar bonds. But I think it also emphasizes the importance of why investors should take advantage of the opportunity to diversify. And I think the one that's coming out strongly from this conversation is, yes, there are more trade or open markets like Singapore, but there are also many domestic-oriented ones like the U.S., which is our most preferred one, or China or India onshore markets, whether it's on the bonds or equity side, which are much more focused on domestic stories rather than global trade. So that's one source of diversification we think will be important with an EM or elsewhere.
All right, we're chatting Manpreet Gill. He is the Head of FICC Investment Strategy at Standard Chartered Private Bank. So Manpreet, there is so much uncertainty right now, and you mentioned diversify your portfolio. Oh, how much support is there for the safe haven assets right now? We're talking about gold, we're talking about pretty much the yen. Is there more upside for these assets?
Well, out of the ones you described, I think gold is the one we're most constructive on. And I think safe haven, of course, is a good characteristic to have in an allocation that otherwise has a fair amount of risk. So we like the hedging characteristics, but we like that one a little bit more than the other safe havens today because, you know, lower interest rates, a weaker dollar, those are positives for gold, even if, you know, things don't turn much worse from a macro perspective. So we think that's actually one haven that's worth having today. We'd still limit allocations to about 5 to 7%. We wouldn't go too crazy. But there is no perfect hedge out there. So that's why when we're looking at the hedge side of an allocation, when you think about very high quality government bonds or currencies like the yen, those are still good to have, but we're not really looking for them to perform very strongly in our base case, at least.
Hey, Manpreet, just to wrap things up, I'm looking at oil prices right now. It's at around $57.50 for WTI. I think we started a year around 40 plus. Where do things go from here in terms of, you know, the demand equation? Because you now have more signs of the various economies around the region slowing down.
Well, demand we actually think will hold up okay. And I think the interesting part is that while the market does worry a lot about demand, actually when you go back and look to the past few decades, demand tends to be fairly stable outside non-recessionary years. So as long as we avoid a recession, I'd worry less about the demand side. I think the real risks still are on the supply side. And yes, we have the disruption risk, sort of, you know, the tail risk, whether it's Iran or anything else. But actually, outside of that, there's a lot of supply on the table. So even though OPEC and Russia have had some success in sort of curbing supply, there's a lot of supply coming out the U.S., which you're seeing in the inventory data. And I think that sort of tension, we think, will sort of keep prices in a range around $64 to $65. But that's really a base case unless we see one of the tail risks sort of go through. So again, very good for emerging markets that tend to be quite dependent on oil imports. Part of the reason, for example, why we are bullish on the Indian rupee, which is one example of an oil-sensitive currency.
Now, Indian rupee may be more upside ahead. We've been chatting with Manpreet Gill. He is the head of FICC Investment Strategy at Standard Chartered Private Bank. Well, thank you so much for your time this morning, Manpreet, to help us analyse what's going on in the markets. Always great chatting with you. Have a great week ahead.
Thanks so much, Ryan. You have a good week yourself.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.